This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold here on a Monday. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 20 minutes. Don't forget, this is the week for our Cody and Gold road trip. We're
Hell at the
Springfield on Saturday. That's May 3rd. Weather looks like it's going to be 75 degrees in Springfield for us to watch the Royals AA affiliate. You got Cags, the headliner, obviously. That's why we're doing the trip, but there's some other top prospects in the organization playing well. We have 165-plus listeners already signed up. I know some of you were holding off because you're like, I want to make sure Cags doesn't get called up. We're going to know in like 2 days if that's even a possibility. Meaning, I think we're going to have well over 200 people by the time we get to Saturday joining us in Springfield, starting at Harbell's at 3:30. Those of you that already ordered your shirts and pre-ordered them, guaranteed yourself a shirt. You'll pick them up there. We'll have a few extras, but I'll be honest, we will not have enough for 200-plus people if you did not pre-order, and the pre-orders did already close. But we hope to see all of you out there to watch Cags, and we might have another fun announcement with that coming up later on this week. That's to be determined. But we also know somebody this week will get chosen to throw out the first pitch. One of the listeners, if you bought through our ticket link, and you can still do that, later on this week, the Springfield Cardinals will pick one of you to throw out the first pitch.
Right now, Jack Caglione sitting .282 with a .360 on base percentage, .494 slugs. Been a few games since he hit a homer. He's only at 4 home runs through 21 games. Oh, no. 22 RBI through 21 games, 24 strikeouts. So strikeouts are really the real issue here at the moment for him. But he's playing pretty well. It's kind of hard to argue with. And as you guys remember from last weekend, he is now probably going to play right field a couple of times a week.
Yeah, sounds like twice a week.
So they're most likely to continue down that path and during that train of thought as well. So typically, I'll just be honest with you, they don't do midweek call-ups very often in the minor leagues from AA to AAA, which means today's an off day. If he's on
the bus tomorrow,
he's on the bus to Springfield tonight. I assume they go tonight.
Yeah, tonight, yeah.
If he's on the bus to Springfield tonight, I think it's probably safe to assume he will be on the club on Saturday. Either way, we're going. So I encourage you to go. And like Gold said, we're a couple people shy of 170 people heading down to Springfield. It's going to be an awesome time. I ordered a few extra shirts. I can't promise many, but like it's going to be a great time out there.
Head to 96.5thefan.com if you want to still find that link. It's right there on the homepage. You'll see the Cody and Gold Road Trip logo. You click there, it'll direct you to the ticket link, special $10 tickets to join us. And we're going to be hanging out after the game too. So I know some of you have decided
we're staying in town.
Some of you are driving back, totally get it, after the game. Some of you I know have already said you've bought a hotel room for the night. So we're going to be hanging out afterwards as well. Myself, Cody, Drew, Dusty, all heading down there as well. Hope to see you guys Saturday afternoon in Springfield.
You and Dusty carpooling?
We are. Yeah, we are.
Who's going to drive?
He's driving.
Oh, he's driving.
Yeah. I got the hotel room.
Okay,
he's driving.
Right.
That was a trade-off. It works for everybody.
Fair enough. Right. Just asking.
Are you and Drew carpooling or no?
We have not discussed that. Drew's driving back.
Okay, never mind. Well, then obviously not. Yeah. That makes sense.
He's changed his mind. Have you changed your mind, Drew? You want to party with us in Springfield?
I am still coming back. That's the plan.
Okay.
It's nothing against you guys or anybody. It's just
I'm taking it personally, man.
I'm taking it personally.
Sorry about that.
All right, let's talk some
That's
NFL.
Like I'm dodging you guys and I'm not going on the trip, you know?
No, I hear you. I got you. All right, let's talk about the draft. And we can get back into Chiefs specifically with the clear theme coming up in about 8 minutes or so. But watching the draft, whether it was AFC West teams, whether it was just how the draft went, what do you guys think was ultimately the kind of the best value pick or the best pick in general? Because there's a couple that stood out. I know locally everybody's going to attach themselves to one because it's very obvious. Anytime you thought someone was a first rounder and they go in the second round, the Chicago Bears getting Luther Burden in the second round, adding Burden to that wide receiver room that has Adunze and DJ Moore. You got a brand new offensive line anchored now by Joe Tooney,
offensive
minded head coach. Like that offense should be fun in 2025. I like that pick in the spot for Chicago, given what they're trying to do with their head coach. And then I also like Jalen Milroe going to Seattle Seahawks, pick 92, I think it was, or 95, 92, to get him in the third round when you have Sam Darnold on a contract. That look, if he ends up falling back into the old Sam Darnold, you can get out after 2 years or whatever it is. I don't hate that pick from a pure value. Plus, maybe you have a special package this year. Jalen Milroe is athletic as they come at the quarterback spot. Maybe they do what the Steelers tried to do with Justin Fields. Occasionally, you got a package third and one or fourth and one, and you take Darnold out for a fourth and one, and you bring in Milroe, and he's able to give you some options there. So I like those two picks.
I really, yeah, the Burden one's kind of undeniable because it's such a good fit, and you and I have talked about this before. This is where I kind of like the fit, which is, if you're a team in that spot, you got to find out about your guy. And I'll be honest, Caleb Williams will be excuseless at the end of this year. Brand new, shiny head coach who loves offense and coached up Jared Goff. A million offensive weapons, including Luther Burden. Like, I almost think that you genuinely can't dislike that pick kind of across the board for all the reasons that it just kind of fits. There were a couple of wide receiver guys. I think I was going back to like the first round guys that I really liked. I still think Hampton's a really good fit for the Chargers. And I think that that's just kind of like stylistically, I think that's a really good fit. So like there's part of me that likes that down in the later rounds. I thought Ursary from the Texans makes all the sense in the world.
They traded away Tunsil. So
for a team that has done a pretty, and they're just revamping their offensive line. So they're doing what the Chiefs did. If I like the Simmons pick, Ursary's like that, except where he's likely to be their starting tackle kind of from the jump. Seemed like a guy who could have been in the first round. This might be a mistake, and I might just Kingsley Suamataia them, but like seems like the kind of guy who could start right away, makes sense, is a fit. So, like, in that perspective, that was one of the ones that was kind of high on my list. I also thought Dylan Sampson as a fourth rounder. I can't really argue that, right? I kind of liked him in the late second, early third. So him going there is up there. And I've seen Mike Green to Baltimore get mentioned a lot.
First round talent, the character concerns is why he fell.
This goes back to like the same stuff with Shadour. It's like, you'll look back a lot of stuff. You'll look past a lot of stuff, won't you?
Yeah.
Except for a bad interview.
Teams are more worried about the baggage than when it comes to the social media stuff than maybe some of the legal issues. But also Mike Green was a first round talent. Shadour Sanders not viewed as a first round talent.
Yeah,
so they're willing to handle the off the field stuff more. And that's what the Ravens are hoping. If he stays on the straight and narrow and everything, then Mike Green, he's a guy that could be a defensive player of the year easily.
Yeah,
or rookie of the year. I'm sorry. Eventually, maybe a defense player, but rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year. Yeah, and the way I view that pick is, if I just in a vacuum say, what do I think about that from a football perspective? Great pick. I will say the Ravens GM got in some hot water because he had to sit there and answer questions about why they're taking a guy with sexual assault allegations while they're in the middle of a player who has sexual assault allegations. And then after having to answer those questions, they went ahead and took a kicker in the sixth or seventh round. So like they're already trying to plan an exit strategy for Justin Tucker, it would appear, in Baltimore. So yeah, him at that spot makes a lot of sense. Chicago had one of the better drafts, in my opinion. You had
So the Patriots.
You had the consult. Yeah, because I really liked their pick of Kyle Williams, not just because he was Binks guy.
Draft
seemed like a good fit for them there too.
So somebody compiled 30 plus draft grades. So across all these, I think it's 24. Sorry, draft grades across the experts that we've brought up, right? Chad Ryder and Thor Nystrom, Mel Kiper, on and on and on. The best draft grade wise, and does it mean anything necessarily? No, but the Patriots, according to the evaluations, had the best draft of anybody. If you take a look at what New England was able to do, and the Giants had the second best draft, according to these, Seattle third, Chiefs fourth, Philly five. The worst, we gave Drew a hard time. Cincinnati at 32. I'm not even kidding. Cincinnati 32. They had three D's handed out.
Look, and admittedly, draft grades are notoriously not the grades.
Yeah, it's a fun thing to look at, but it doesn't mean a damn thing.
Drew, did you like Cincinnati's draft?
Yeah, I actually did because they won.
First, you barely talked yourself into kind of liking the first round pick. So
after further evaluation, I think the one thing that hindered him was technique and tackling. If they think they can fix it, the dude could be really, really, really good.
If they got some starters, maybe it works. But this might be the Bengals. You know what they did? This is an all-time this is an all-time least sexiest draft of all time.
Oh, 100%.
They did not take a single exciting player.
Which is a good thing.
That's
exactly what
no
they needed to do.
No upside dudes.
I mean, Shamar Stewart has the upside to be.
Dude, they did take two linebackers in the first four rounds.
They need linebacker. Jermaine Pratt asked out, and they also lost another linebacker in free agency. They needed a linebacker.
Two linebackers, two interior offensive linemen.
Plus Barrett Carter can Barrett Carter can shift around like Isaiah Simmons and play safety and whatnot.
It's interesting to look at the grades and see, has obviously the name for every team and the writer. And so, for example, there's a couple guys that just like a teacher would or a professor would, Cody, they just give everybody good grades, basically. Like,
oh yeah.
So Chad Ryder,
sure.
Nobody got lower than a B minus in his grades. Whereas then Thor Nystrom, who's is Binks guy, and Thor, I know, obviously went to KU and stuff, and he's the toughest grader on everybody.
So he's a tough grader.
Out two A's and he gave out multiple D's and F's, and so everybody grades a little bit differently. But ultimately, the Chiefs were the fourth highest graded team. If you're wondering about the rest of the division, the Raiders' sixth best draft according to grades. The Chargers 23rd and the Broncos way down there 24th, right after them. Sorry.
Oh, 24th, huh? That's tough. Raiders, it's hard because Ginty feels like a near perfect fit for their current setup offense. And they also had a lot of people liked the wide receiver they took, the Jack Besh kid.
Yeah.
Although it's always so funny the way you look at it, it's like, is it because the emotional put? They also had a million picks. They picked it 6, 58, 68, 98, 99, and 108. Hard not to like your draft when you
Well, that's the point. That's why the Chiefs should be trying to stockpile picks, too.
Hard not to like someone's draft and they get six shots at it in the first 108 picks. I'd probably like that, too.
I thought one of the
They took a lot of players. My God, how many picks did they have?
I thought one of the better moves was, it wasn't even a draft pick, actually. It was a signing. Xavier Restrepo was mocked in, like, the third or fourth round. I think he's got a little bit of a medical question mark, but the Titans bringing him in to give Cam Ward some comfort in terms of familiarity is nice, because
that part's fine. Like, yeah, get some off-season workouts. Maybe there's like a hidden thing there. We didn't have to even give up a draft pick for you.
Oh, and the Titans even said Cam was calling for him in like the fourth round. They said, please get Xavier, please get Restrepo. Like, I want him.
I think
I think that's nice to be able to get him some familiarity where, I mean, he was very good. I think Bink loved Xavier Restrepo.
He's a dog, man. Total dude.
Well, the past, I mean, he's
all dudes.
I think the past 2 years he's had 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, he's very productive, ultra productive in terms of he was the go-to guy at Miami. So you get the quarterback, it makes sense that you bring the guy in at wide receiver and just see what happens.
This is where I'm generally impressed, and then sometimes I think they're wrong. Cause like I do value production too in college, which is NFL team will watch a guy run around like four stationary cones and be like, nope. See you later, loser. You can't handle the league. You're out of here. Get your ass out of here. And then they'll watch a different guy do that, and they'll be like, oh, my God, future superstar. Let's get this guy in our uniform.
Well, because it's the full package, right? Like, there's so many different levels to it. Did he, you know, is there off-the-field stuff? Was he great in meetings? What, you know, where is he at in so many different areas? But I get what you're saying. Like, look, the draft, it's fun. We've had fun the last couple months with it.
Sure.
Obviously, at some point, you know, it gets a little exhausting, admittedly, with it. It gets a little tiresome, just like the same stuff over and over and over and over. But once it gets here, it is still fun, man. You're talking about the future of your franchise as a fan or whatever, right? And you're
trying to figure out how
the roster construction, because we all know, like, ultimately for you to have the sustained success, you got to nail your draft picks. You can talk about free agency all we want, but you got to nail your draft picks.
Once again, another theme emerged from the Chiefs draft pick.
No doubt.
Which I told you I thought they'd go one way or the other, and we were on the fence about, honestly, I thought they would go more offensive heavy. Is kind of what I thought they were going to do. I was like, oh, you know, running back. I think they could use a wide receiver, offensive line. I thought the theme would be, let's get back to being one of the league's best offenses. Enough of this laying in the middle of the pack for an offense that has Patrick Mahomes. And instead, they once again win defense. Their three of their first four picks were defensive tackle, defensive edge, and corner. They only took three offensive players altogether. One was the number one overall pick, but a guy that we think might not play this year. And then a wide receiver, they waited till the fourth, and then a running back with their very last pick of the draft. Clearly another theme of defense. And I'm guessing some of it is because of what we've discussed, which is where they are contract-wise.
I think
I was a little surprised that it was so defensive-heavy again.
The only surprise for me was once that I thought they would have taken the running back earlier, a running back earlier, but defensive line was clearly a need. We talked about them needing to take multiple guys on the defensive line, just where they're at. And yeah, think about the expiring contracts, even in the cornerback room. So McDuffie's likely to get an extension at some point. But after that, only Christian Fulton is on this team contract-wise after this year. Watson expiring deal. Doesn't mean they can't bring him back, but you got multiple guys that are on expiring deals. Charles Omenihu is on a one-year deal. Mike Dana, kind of, I think he technically has 2 years left, but the contract is structured in a certain way. You know, you have a guy in Karlaftis who maybe he gets an extension. We don't know, but his contract could be expiring in the next 2 years. So I think that's why they went defense heavy. As much as we say, hey, surround Mahomes with a ton of weapons, another way to build it, and the way the Chiefs clearly have built it, is we're going to surround Mahomes with a great defense. That as much as we want them to be an offensive team, the reality is they're
Patrick Mahomes. Like, of course I want him to be an offensive team.
Of course, but they have gotten to Super Bowls the last couple of years in large part because the defense has played at a very, very high level. They are obviously banking on that. Hey, we loved our wide receiver room a year ago. We just didn't get to see it. And that's a risk. Yes. There's risk, but that is what they're banking on. Worthy is going to continue to develop. Rashee Rice was having a great start to the year. He got hurt in week four. And Hollywood Brown, we never really got to see it. He got hurt in a weird injury in Jacksonville. They're banking on, if those guys can play 80%+ of the season together, you know, that the offense will be fine. That Travis Kelce won't be asked to be the guy, and him as a more of a secondary piece, he can excel at that. The way that they could have amplified the offense more would have been spending a higher pick on running back, but I don't hate the overall plan. Like, I think you're going to look back in a year or two in ways be thankful that they spent this year's draft on defense, because otherwise I think it could have been a major liability.
A lot of it is just, I don't think it's a bad plan. I just think it's a plan that can go bad quickly and will know quickly, because the reality is, and we talked about this at the beginning, we can talk about it more, they didn't take a bunch of starters in this draft, not guys who are going to be like...
Well, could be starters, not...
Yeah, as in like starters in year one. Sorry, I should phrase a little bit different based on the way that works. But they are absolutely... Their entire offensive plan is, we had a top five offense, you just didn't get to see it. We, like, I mean, honestly, there's no other way to read it.
Yeah.
We had a top five offense, you all just didn't see it, that's all. Like, it was all there. And look, it's not crazy. They missed Pacheco for half the season, Rashee Rice for 75% of the season, Hollywood Brown for 90% of the season. They were just in the early stages of developing Xavier Worthy. Travis Kelce has admittedly said that he didn't feel like he had a year that he's capable of having. Like, there's a million reasons why the offense could be significantly improved from the year before. But I will say, of the two units, like, this goes back to like what the Bills did in their draft and what teams typically do, which is, you usually improve the unit that's the worst. Drew says he likes Cincinnati's draft because they have a terrible defense and they drafted a bunch of defense. That's not like an uncommon approach. The Chiefs' offense was by far the less good unit on the field last year and for the last 2 years. And for the last 2 years, they've spent more of their resources on defense. Not zero in offense. Their first-round picks last year was a wide receiver.
And their first-round pick this year, they hope, is going to be a long-term starter at tackle. They hope.
But they did spend it. And look, here's the thing. I would be more picky about it, but I wanted them to take a defensive edge player, and I wanted them to take a defensive tackle. So it's like, I just thought they would like mix and match maybe more. Like the running back would go higher or the wide receiver would go higher, but I thought they could good value with Royals, so I'm okay with it. And it's a risk probably worth taking because they want to see what their plan looked like on paper last year. That's what it is. There's no reason, there's no evidence to support the fact that what they thought would work last year wouldn't work this year. That, right? Like, if they thought it worked last year, what, I mean, what proved us wrong? Nothing? I mean,
yeah, I've said it over and over. Really, my only issue is the running back spot. That's it. Other than that, I get the logic behind what they did. I think it's actually very smart, obviously, for Spags to continue to have a defense at that level. And there, of course, is always risk involved with whatever your offseason plan is. There is just who happens to be kind of running it back to a certain extent based off of injuries from a year ago.
Trash of the day.
We go to Chicago for this one. Involving money.
Always. In some way or another.
Imagine this happens. Bags of cash flying out of a Brinks home security company truck last week in a Chicago suburb, resulting in approximately $300,000 being stolen. Okay. The back door of the truck opened by, quote, unknown means in Oak Park. Leading to three
forgot to lock it.
I guess. Leading to three bags of U.S. currency falling out. The incident happened while the driver was going southbound on, I guess, something called Austin Boulevard. Brinks noted that upon returning to the area, between 50 and 100 people were seen taking money and fleeing. They didn't know they went back. They turned back around once they realized. And by then, there was a 50 to 100 people. The total estimated amount of lost money was $300,000. No one
honest.
Is in custody. You're it's your neighborhood, Cody. Brinks truck goes down the street. Bags of cash fly out.
Find
the
your
truck
sleepers.
Keeps driving away. All of a sudden, everybody in the neighborhood just flocks to the bags of cash.
I'm sorry.
Are you not, going out to
I'm
get the cash?
I'm absolutely taking some of
you're
that
You're still
money.
Stealing, but are you doing it?
Am I? I think finders keepers should apply
stealing,
here.
But
if you don't lock the back of your truck and money starts spilling out, just as long as I didn't tamper the truck, I should be allowed to gather as much cash as on the street.
It's definitely stealing, but I'm with you. If a bag of cash is sitting in the cul-de-sac and there's you're not grabbing one... See, you know, what do they call it?
100 that rolls
one
up.
One wrap of, you know, what, a 10 grand or whatever that would be?
Well, I'm taking it. One way or the other, I'm taking it. I'm absolutely taking the risk.
You might be going to jail. You might be going
Can
to
they
jail.
Put me in, like, is a judge putting me in jail for that?
Why
because
wouldn't
I picked
he?
Up some money on the street? What am I supposed to do? Just ignore it? My brother one time, this is the only found in the street story I have for you. My brother one time found a gun in the middle of the street, and it turns out a cop had dropped it.
Oh, wow.
It was
what?
An officer's gun. He had found it in the middle of the street. He went to go turn it into the police department. It turned out it belonged to just some, like, street cop. He dropped his gun, get out of his car or something.
That's dangerous. Jeez. Luckily, he found not some kid.
I still bet he got a talking to from his superior.
You think?
Probably a tough day at the office for him.
I don't know
Same
what,
with his Brinks truck driver.
Now, these are obviously, like, marked, right? Like, they can track the, they can know
can
which...
Can they track them in that way? I guess they know every, probably, serial number that's on the truck. So, probably, yeah.
50 to 100 people, though. I mean, good luck getting all 50 or 100. That might have.
How are you spending it? How are you going to spend it so you don't get caught?
I don't know, man.
You got to pay in places that they're not, like, tracking serial numbers, like a concession. You know, like, it's nickel and diming. You're spending it in really small quantities. That's fine. I'll buy. Buy a little snack or some gas or something for a little while.
I don't think this qualifies as finders keepers. I mean, this is not the same as being at a movie theater and someone dropped a $20 bill and you just take it and you move on with your life. I mean,
well, and how long?
Clearly,
like, if they forget for a few hours.
Bag, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm calling the police, but I'm just saying, like, that's what you're supposed to have done. You would have called some, like, hey, by the way, I know it's not normal that there. It's the same thing. It's the same thing if you drove up to an ATM. All right, and the ATM somehow was, like, not locked. Like, the Brinks truck loaded the
that
ATM.
That feels like it's in
it's,
a thing. That's a little
And it's
different.
Open. And no, the door's open, and there's just cash is sitting there. And, like, well, it's just there for me. You can't just go and grab it, even though we all obviously would love to do that.
I think once it's on the street, it's fair game. I agree with you on the ATM part, or, like, if it was in the back of the Brinks truck. But, I mean, it's just on the street. It's on the street.
Like, this is different. This is
if
not,
I
like,
saw it fall out of the back of the truck, it's probably a different answer. If there's just money spilled into the street, I'm taking some of that money.
I mean, I think it's different than, let's say you're on the highway and the bag comes out of the Brinks truck and money flies in the air and, like, $1,000 lands on your windshield.
I'm
just grabbing that and moving on with my life. If, you know, rolled up money is on the different. Street, I think there's a difference.
I will say, loose is going to be easier for me to take than banded. If it's a banded stack of 50s, whew.
Because you just
now
clearly know,
like, I'm
like
stealing,
you clearly
you
know that that's not. I think it's different than just, like, single dollar bills flying in the air and you grab a couple of them.
Yeah,
I don't know. Text line is split on this one. Text line is split.
I see a lot of people on the finders keepers end.
I get it. I just don't know if that's how this works. As much as I would love for it to be the case,
love for it to just be.
That is. Trash
I found
of
all
the,
those cash. Now
is,
it's mine.
That is trash of the day. That is the trash of the day. All right. Up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk about the rest of the AFC West and how this played out and who actually could have a bigger impact against the Chiefs in 2025.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Reminder, coming up at 1 o'clock today, Jay Binkley going to join us in studio. He's got beef
Get
with Drew now.
Down.
He's got beef with Drew now. He was not happy with something that was said earlier in the show today.
Again?
I said, you work it out with Drew when you get here. We'll make this happen. It's not a big deal, but we'll make it happen.
What did I do now?
He wasn't happy. You told Cody and I earlier today that Bink didn't like the draft.
Because
Bink,
he didn't.
Bink texted me and said, that's not true. Stop making me look bad.
I said, still saying it.
I said, talk to Drew. So he's going to join us in studio now. Drew, he was going to call in, but because he's upset with you, he's coming in studio. He wants face-to-face you two to work this thing out.
Friday night at 9:30, it's been a bad draft. They need an all-caps offense.
I'm just telling you what you both have said. You told me he hates it. Bink says I'm wrong. I said, Drew told me you're saying he's wrong. I don't know what's going on.
He must have did what Drew did on Thursday night. Watch a little tape.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Well, and I think Binkley wanted what I think you and I did, too.
Running back higher, yeah.
I would have preferred a slightly more offensive draft, but, you know, sometimes that's not the way that it goes. We can talk more about what Ryan Nutt had to say. He's the
who?
He's the second guy in charge.
He's the director
of player personnel. He's behind Brett Veach. He spoke to the media today instead of Brett Veach as a part of it here in just a minute. Can I ask you guys a quick question since we're talking about it? Let's just say value per round two. What was the favorite pick the Chiefs made for you? What's the guy you liked the best?
Yeah, I mean, look.
Is it still Simmons? Because it's an unknown, right? It's
nuts. Yeah, I wouldn't say that's my so the position that I felt they needed to address the most, actually, in the draft was defensive line. Now, I don't want to overblow like Norman Law and act like, oh my gosh, they just got a future star.
When he's on the field, he wins.
But he's impressive. Like if you do watch, he is impressive. When he's on the field, you notice him, right? We say that all the time with a lot of these guys in training camp, preseason. You're like, did that guy just stand out? Like Jaden Hicks last year.
Yeah.
He just stood out throughout preseason. You're like, you know he's on the field. Feels like that's the same thing with Norman Law. So I like the pick. Favorite pick, it's weird. Like... Josh Simmons, I don't know how I can say it's my favorite pick. I just totally understand the swing they're taking with that pick because it's worth the swing of what the potential payoff is. If that knee is actually healthy, you might have found a top 10 left tackle. And given the fact that you've started 5 left tackles in the Super Bowl run that you've had, that would be huge. It would change everything for this team.
Based on value, Omar Norman Lott was my favorite of the picks. Close runner-up, though, was Royals in the 4th. Like, that's a guy that fits their system. It just is. And productive where he was coming out of. And you know what? 4th-round wide receivers are great because you try to slow develop them and, you know, maybe you get a DeMarcus Robinson type, but there's no pressure on them to succeed in year one. You don't have to get production in year one. He's going to be buried on the depth chart.
Yeah,
I mean,
fifth
that's
receiver
part of it.
Or something like that.
He's going to be down. But they got such a young wide receiver group that, you know what this does? Get Sky Moore. Off the rock, it moves Juju Smith-Schuster's needs down the list. At least it gives you some other options. That's all. That's part of the reason I like that. Let's talk about the AFC West, though. This is always the interesting fascination between let's take a look at what the rest of the teams did in the AFC West because that's going to stand out the most. I did think, and I kind of agree with the draft grades, I thought the Raiders did better than the other two teams, which is great news
Raiders
for the Chiefs.
The Raiders had a top 10 draft.
Because they
had a
got
top
the
10
worst
draft.
Quarterback. Well... Depends on where you are between him and Bo Nix. I think I can make an argument either way.
I think the Raiders had a top 10 draft, you know, on paper, right? All this stuff is fluid as we go on and on and on. But right now, yeah, I mean, if you just are simply don't take a running back in the top 10, then you're not going to like the Raiders draft. But it makes a ton of sense. But you're right in terms of impacting the Chiefs right away. The Raiders are still so far down the road on being, to me, a true contender in the division. I still believe, looking at what they've done, best case scenario, everything goes perfect for Pete Carroll in year one. They're an 8-win team. Like, everything goes perfect. Maybe 9, if I'm being generous. And that's if everything goes right. If they get Geno from 2 years ago, not last year Geno. If Ashton Jeanty is what we all think he is, and he's a 1,200-yard back, then they're an 8 or 9-win team. Most likely, I think they're a 6 or 7-win team. The Broncos... You know, their draft, I actually totally get what they were trying to do in round one. Just add to the secondary, add to the strength, going up against the weapons that you're going to see in the AFC West. But yeah, I thought the Raiders, I know normally we don't say it, but I thought the Raiders had a really nice draft.
Well, they got a new guy. Spytek's new in charge. Spytek. Maybe he's better at his job than the other ones, right? I mean, I can't rule that out. They've had previous bad general management and bad coaching. Maybe they're not going to be a laughing stock anymore. I don't think that that's crazy to think based on, and again, it's one draft. I don't have to give all the examples of times where we're like, oh my God, look at this guy's draft. And they've had a good year one even, and it did not equate to good year 2 or 3 or 4. It's easy, I think, in the Raiders' case to have a good draft because of what we mentioned earlier. They had a lot of picks. Denver, I thought, had a chance to get closer to Kansas City, and I did not think they did that at all. I didn't think they did that at all. Like, other than they got a nice secondary, I was not blown away with really any pick after they made out of that as far as like a...
I don't mind the running back pick.
Catching the Chiefs. Again, I liked RJ Harvey generally speaking, so it's not like I'm anti that. And for the value, it's okay. But, you know, it felt like they could have taken some bigger swings for their guy in Bo Nix. I like the teams like Chicago that made an effort of saying, we got a young guy, let's try to compete. Because I just don't think you can win a lot of games. I don't think you can win the AFC West without scoring. Like, not against the Chiefs, not against, you know,
in fairness, the Bears had a ton more picks, and they still are reaping the benefits from the Bryce Young trade. That trade is now finally completed, I think.
Jeez.
But they traded the pick that resulted in Bryce Young, and they got Kayla Williams, Roma Dunze, what's his name? Oh my gosh, who they just took in the first round?
Luther Burt? Oh, wait.
Yeah, Luther Byrne was part
of that.
Luther
Byrne was in the second round.
Tyreek Stevenson, they got some punter, they got another offense. Like, they got a huge haul. That turned out to be an unbelievable trade for Chicago in exchange for Panthers basically getting Bryce Young. So that's the only thing with the Chargers, who had, you know, multiple fifth-round picks, but they still had just your standard round one, round two, round three. Trey Harris will be interesting to watch. He's the wide receiver. They have Ladd McConkey. They get Trey Harris, who's a downfield threat. Not a name we talked as much about in Kansas City, I don't think.
No, not a 10.
Harbaugh is still going to be run first.
So the Amari Hampton
pick is really, really strong for them to go with Najee Harris.
But I told you, I kind of hate that about... That's the biggest flaw Harbaugh has. That's his style.
It fits his style.
Yeah, it does.
You and I would just operate differently, but that's who he is, and he's not going to change.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I understand that. But that's also, like I've told you, I think the limitation that they're going to find out with Harbaugh is not that he can't win or win a lot more than they were winning before, but that for what point? Right? To what end will you get there? And my guess is that they are the, like, Royals version we were talking about later. We're like, yeah, they'll probably be a playoff team most years, but I don't view them as a threat. The good news is that nobody had this. No, and look, nobody was, like, really looking for quarterback. Didn't the Raiders take a quarterback late?
I don't know. Did they?
I kept thinking they were going to be the team to take Sanders. Like, at some point, same. Just take a flyer. I mean, Geno's under contract for a couple of years, but he's already in his 30s.
They took Cam Miller from NDSU in the sixth round.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay, so I don't care. Got it. I mean, I don't think they just took the next Tom Brady. Who are the best, like, fourth round drafted quarterbacks ever? Brock Purdy is on the list, probably.
I mean, Tom, obviously.
I was just, like, thinking about, like...
How many others there are.
We can talk about this more as we get back into Shedeur Sanders.
Right?
Yeah, we can get more to this when we get back into this, because that's always the question now with him is, like... You know, when you're drafted that late in the draft, the odds of your success, partially because they're not going to put the resources into you, is absolutely part of it. Not that you're less talented, but they're not going to give you nearly the shot that other teams did. I just was trying to think of other examples. Warner, Purdy, Brady. It's a pretty, you know, Russ, but that's the third. That's quite a few rounds higher than where they were before. Well, yeah, I just look at it and I'm not, like, blown away. I had mentioned Ryan Nutt had spoken to the media. You and I were talking about their draft and the lack of running back. At least in the early rounds, this is what the director of player personnel for the Chiefs, Ryan Nutt, had to say on why they were willing to wait on Breshard into the seventh round.
So we knew before the draft this was a very deep running back class. There's guys that fell into the fourth round that we thought would be gone at the beginning of two and possibly – or beginning of three and possibly maybe even two. So – we kind of knew it was deep. We knew Breshard was somebody we liked kind of in the mid rounds, but with it being so deep, there was maybe a chance to get him. What happened was in the fifth, I mean, there was a player and Jeff Bossa who was there, who was clearly the best player on our board. So that would have been a time to take a running back. But when you have a other player that is higher on the board, Brett likes to go by, listen, let's let the board, we've worked on this board for 8 months. Let's let this thing speak to us. So we took the player we had slightly higher and Jeff Bossa. And then I allowed Brett to, like, refocus and say, okay, I'm going to take a running back now. I know who I want. So we get to the seventh round and, you know, Brett felt like giving up another seventh round pick to move up was well worth it. And I think everybody did, to get the kid that we liked in the mid rounds. So that was kind of the thinking there.
So he's saying, and the logic is not flawed. It was very deep. There
were
guys
going.
You
think is clearly best available.
He's claiming, get him. Yeah, and he's saying Bossa, like, he was the best guy on our board. What are we supposed to, like, yeah, sure, we were thinking about running back there, but he was the best guy on the board, so we got to go with that guy, and then we'll just try to figure out running back a little bit later. Now, saying we thought of him as a mid-round running back, but take him in the seventh, it feels like a bit of a stretch, probably.
The question really is more, he said there was a couple players that they had that were there in round four, not five, but in four,
that they
thought were second or third. He didn't say why they didn't take them then when they were there. Why didn't they? They ended up taking, was that the Royals? Would that have been Royals?
That was Jalen Royals.
That was Jalen Royals. So obviously they must have had him higher on the board, because running back wise, if you're saying that there was a running back on the board, on your board in round four, that you thought could have gone as early as the second round, be like, well, then why Why wasn't he the pick? Well, they must have had Royals even higher on the board than that guy. They must just not have had running back as much of a priority, clearly, as you and I and people from the outside, obviously. And that's fine. They've obviously put in the work for it. It's just you can still disagree with the decision, but it doesn't mean that their answer to get there doesn't mean it was a bad path to get there. I would have had running back more prioritized. They clearly did not. Otherwise, they would have taken a running back when they had that guy that they mentioned. We don't know who it was. That was a second round pick. They thought that was there in the fourth round.
Carrington had made a good point when he came in here. We were chatting for a few minutes and he was talking a little bit about the Chiefs organization. Cause this is the part that I think partially threw me off and threw you off, which is this team once valued running back enough to take it in the first round. And this was by all accounts the deepest running back draft class of a generation. We may never see another one like it. I mean, there were guys all throughout this draft, and it is clearly both a short-term and long-term position of need. It's not one or the other. You could use an extra back there right now, unless you're just counting on Elijah Mitchell.
They don't have anybody under contract.
Magically being healthy, not a single running back other than Carson Steele is under contract for next year, and they no longer value it? That's the part that gets me. Or is Brett Veach just one of the things he subscribed to now that he's had a few years of these drafts? Is not the running back thing, but he's a believer in the board. Because you can hear the way he talks about that to me is, we're sitting in a room, we like some of these running backs, we know we need a running back. Brett, we want a running back. And he's like, this guy's the best guy on our board. I don't know why we wouldn't just take the best guy on our board. I know we all want running back here, but we got to just cool it on that and then figure it out. Because the running back thing is just a dart throw is kind of where I view it. But look, I think the draft overall, I don't know. My grade won't mean anything to anybody. It was just it was a fine draft. Perfectly fine. A B, whatever.
Yeah.
Depending on how you look at it or want to assign a letter grade, if that makes people feel better.
Ultimately, we're going to judge the class in a year or so.
Or 2 years or 3 years.
And it's going to be how many starters did they get out of that? And really, was Josh Simmons healthy enough to be a left tackle in this league? That's how we're going to view. That's how we're going to remember this class, I think.
Does it mean that
Jalen Royals can't turn out to be a really nice wide receiver? Of course it doesn't mean. Of course he can. Can Breshard Smith be someone that is an impact player for a couple years? Sure. Is he going to be the dude in the backfield? I'm a little skeptical, but it doesn't mean these guys are just waste. I want to be clear when we're being critical of the running back slot value, or we're being critical or whatever. It doesn't mean. I think Norman Lott actually is going to be a really nice player for them. When you pick at 32, your first round pick has a chance to start day one. It's very unrealistic unless you're drafting guards or centers that fourth round picks are going to start immediately. That's just not usually how it works. So if Noel Williams, the corner, ends up being a guy that plays starter type snaps, that's a huge win too.
He is the most intriguing prospect out of the group for, I think, really three reasons. One is, find me a team better in the NFL at finding corners. Just good luck, right? Find me a team better in the league at finding cornerbacks to play in the NFL. This is a draft level that they found a guy like Legarius Sneed, who, by the way, is an easy, very similar comp for Noel Williams as far as stylistically goes, size and weight and play style and everything else. He projects to be a lot like Legarius Sneed. They traded up for him. So now, and I'll just be honest, when you give up the pick that you gave up for Joe Tooney, now a little more heat. They didn't just take you in the third round. They moved up in the third round with the pick they got for Joe Tooney. I don't think it's a third round pick and Joe Tooney he's got to live up to. But you gave up a little bit more juice for the guy. So they must have really, really, really liked Williams. The way he talks about that player makes me think they thought Williams was a second round talent.
I think he's going to play the most out of this rookie class in year one, at least. 913-586-7965 from the 816. Says history says they went to 3 Super Bowls and 1-2 with a 7th round back. I hear you, but it also doesn't mean that now any 7th round back they take is just automatically going to be Isaiah Pacheco.
That's a rare thing to find a back that productive in the 7th.
With all due respect to their evaluation on running back, I don't think now because they found one Isaiah Pacheco just means that now they're the running back 7th round whisperers of the NFL.
'90s Denver Broncos and they can just pick up whoever.
Breshard Smith ends up being great again, then we can start saying, they evaluate running backs late, great. But because they found one time a running back in the 7th round doesn't mean now just automatically they doesn't matter. They can just keep drafting them every time in the 7th round and they're going to work out.
Well, and by the sounds of it, if they, let's say Devin Neal goes earlier and Giddens goes earlier, Breshard Smith might be taken in the 5th round by the Chiefs. It sounded like they really liked him.
But a fifth round is a dart throw, too. Let's not pretend like taking a running back in the fifth round some sure thing.
Sure, but I mean, if the Chiefs would have taken Damian Martinez or DJ Giddens in the fifth round, I don't know if we're having the same conversation that we're having today because it's a different round. The one thing, too, that...
Because if they would have drafted, Drew, two running backs and you told me one was in the fifth and one was the seventh, I don't think we're having the conversation. Because
yeah.
I would have said, oh, you threw numbers at it even more. Fifth round and seventh round.
Versus seventh and two undrafted free agent running backs. Anybody know anything about the undrafted guys they picked up?
They did get a couple KU guys.
Did they?
In terms of minicamp invites.
I saw Jared Casey. Did he get an invite?
Jared Casey got a minicamp invite. They weren't actual, like, signings. The one that I think is Mac... I need to go back and find his name now. I think he's going to be the camp guy. He's the dog, Cody, that you referenced. Everybody, him and Elijah Badger, the wide receiver out of Florida, 39 catches for 806 yards. He led the Gators in receiving last year over some guys that got drafted. Actually, Jamari DK got picked by the Titans in the fourth round.
It's a funny balance because I like by no means do any of us, me, you, or Drew, dislike the draft the Chiefs just had, but like. I also try to give you an honest opinion about how I feel about it, which means I'm not going to come in here and just do Homer radio for you and be like, they're all dogs. Rashad, I mean, you can't wait. He's Marshall Faulk. Like, I don't know how they found him in the seventh round. It's crazy. They found Trent McDuffie in the third and Noel Williams. Omar Norman Lott is the next coming of Chris Jones. Like, I'm not like
Mac Delaney is the name I'm talking about.
Yeah. I could do that. We could come in here and do that radio if you want. I think most NFL GMs will tell you. When you're taking a seventh round pick, they'll acknowledge it is a complete guessing game at that point. You're just going off of a couple of evaluations of things you like and hoping and praying. The unknown is incredibly strong. I don't expect my team to hit consistently at sixth and seventh rounds. The Chiefs have already hit at an extraordinarily high rate that they've gotten play out of Nazi Johnson, Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco, Trey Smith. So, like, I trust them more than a lot of other teams to hit in those ranges.
And someone says, hey, there's
still it's still a dangerous game.
And somebody else said, hey, there's another draft next year if they need to get a running back, they can't. Yeah, I think that's the But I think that's the point is, like, now I wonder if they've put themselves in a corner where they might have to take a running back in round one or two next year. I don't like that. That would be my argument back against
them. We like having choices.
They obviously can address running back in a variety of ways after this year with multiple guys not under contract. I just don't like that. Now we could go into next year with a weaker running back class and they might feel like they have to take one in round one or two.
I was going to say the fact that, you know, the class doesn't look as good on paper again, a whole year before the draft of next year.
That's too early to say that.
You know, they might not even have to go in the first round and get a guy. They might be able to wait until the second or third to feel like they need to take that.
I just thought it was interesting. It was such a deep draft class that there were teams who were taking two guys before the Chiefs were taking them. Right? I mean,
you said the Browns took two, Cody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to put much stock in the Browns.
Look, that's a badly run organization.
Not exactly the organization that I'm trying to.
They did have a very good draft though. They actually showed up.
Mel Kiper gave him an A+.
I thought they drafted.
I wonder why Mel Kiper gave him an A+. The Chiefs could have drafted Shador. He'd think it was an A+ immediately.
They drafted three immediate starters at very minimum. And Mason Graham, Schweisinger, and Quinshon Judkins. They drafted Sampson and Judkins.
Yeah. So
that's a nasty backfield.
We're going to talk about the relevant stuff to Sanders here in just a minute. The prank calls, where he went in the draft. Does he ever become a starter in the NFL? All the normal stuff that most people are curious about. Is there a round in which you would have taken Sanders? Because I'll be honest, there definitely was.
Yes, absolutely. Because you could have utilized him as a trade piece down the road.
Starting in the fifth round, I would have. If they had gotten to their fifth round pick and Sanders was still on the board, I was officially on the board. I would have drafted Shador Sanders at that point. I would have taken the risk if I were the Chiefs.
I'm with you. Yeah, anytime after probably sixth or seventh round, if somehow he was on the board, you would have done it. He wouldn't have been a distraction in Kansas City, not in this locker room. Clearly, would have had no debate about who the quarterback is. It would have worked. And then if he's impressive in preseason stuff, you pull the Jimmy Garoppolo Patriots trade. Garoppolo is behind Tom Brady. Eventually, they trade him. Yeah, I would have been all about it at that point. I don't know if the Chiefs I would love one day to get like a real answer. Like, would you guys have done this if he was there? I don't know if we'll ever get that answer. We will if he turns out to be great. Every team will say that'll be the funniest thing now because he slid. We now all know that like Sean Payton since has said, oh, we wanted Patrick Mahomes. If Shador Sanders actually turns out to be a nice starter in the league, how many GMs are going to claim, well, we loved him? No, you didn't.
The Giants.
He was a fifth round pick. No, you didn't.
The Saints will say that for sure.
None of you loved him. We were taking him with our next pick. We were just waiting to the fifth to get him this time.
So speaking of Saints taking quarterbacks, Cody and I were kind of dunking on Tyler Shuck the other day. You and I were going back and forth.
He was hurt for three seasons, 26 years old, and you're telling me that guy was better than...
That he makes at the combine where you hear people, audible gasp.
Dude, it looked like that Lifetime made-for-TV movie. You want to know my conspiracy theory on that? They drafted him on purpose because they want Archie Manning. They drafted him to fail. They drafted Shuck on purpose to fail. They took a quarterback knowing he would stink so that they would fail. This is an intentional tanking. There's just no other explanation for it at the time they did it. They won Archie Manning. The last time they took a first-round quarterback was Archie Manning. They won Arch Manning. This was an intentional pick so that they could fail and do it. This is a great pick if you want the first overall pick in the NFL draft. They nailed it.
He's a quarterback that can win you four games.
Win you four, actually.
He's great for that. Tremendous value at winning you two games is what Shuck got you.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending, then we'll talk some Royals baseball briefly in your perfect homestand. And where do they sit heading into tomorrow's game against Tampa?